What's up, you guys? It's Davey Suicide. You are listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle radio show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's Boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at today'sboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well, so please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
Listen up! Hold on to your seats! Grab your girls! Grab your beers!
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Kato Kalin listens to this all the time.
I am Monty Heath,
so one Heath, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping notes. If you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble, please hit that subscribe button and help us out. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast or any of the podcast platforms, please hit that subscribe button there as well. So I can continue to bring you interviews like the one I'm about to have right now with Mr. Richie Cavalera of the band Insight. What's going on, man?
What's up, metalheads? All is well, man. Just kicking back, enjoying the time off, and gearing up for some rocking, brother. All is well.
Nice, nice. So you're in Arizona right now, right?
No, actually, I moved out to California at the beginning of this year, and I'm loving it, man. I couldn't take that heat no more, and I'm just, yeah, such a better place, and I'm about 5 minutes from the ocean, so I'm a happy camper now.
Nice, nice. So usually when I have somebody on the show for the first time, and I know I'm pretty sure this will get interesting, but originally, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Before music, I wanted to be a truck driver, actually. I used to, like, when I was probably like 4 or 5, I'd have my parents go get me like semi magazines, bro. And I would just like look at them, enjoy like the cabins. And, you know, that's kind of what was cool about music is, you know, I get to drive a van and all these different vehicles that we tour in. So I kind of got the best of both worlds in what I'm doing today. It's kind of cool.
Nice, nice. And then like, when was it that, you know, music kind of became, caught your attention and became your thing?
You know, I was really young, and you know, Sacred Reich was kind of like a big thing going on in Arizona, and especially with my family. You know, my mom, Gloria, was managing them when they first started, and you know, I remember seeing a show with them in the band Atrophy when I was probably, yeah, man, 4 or 5, probably the same age, and it just, it was insane. You know, like my older brother threw me up on his shoulders and was running in the pit, you know, and after the show, I'm kind of hanging with the Atrophy guys, getting my picture with them, because they, prior to this, they had used my face and my imagery for their Violent by Nature album cover. So to get to like hang with them as a little guy and see all that, just really, man, it just something magical about what music did, and the experience of the crowd and how cool all the bands were. Just, it was something I really wanted to do.
Oh man, yeah, I can relate, dude. I just came back from being at the Incarceration Festival, and you know, I'm still a kid at heart, man. Just, you know, when you get to talk to the musicians and hang out and, you know, get your picture taken and all that good stuff, man.
It's yeah, man, it's a cool family of, you know, people, and you know, I think everybody's accepted, and you know, there's not judgment about who or what you are. It's just everybody's happy to be a part of this thing, you know, that's, you know, helping all of us.
Oh, exactly. I agree, man. And speaking of family, what's it been like growing up, Cavalera?
Man, I've been very blessed and fortunate and humbled and grateful for this incredible life that I've definitely had. You know, we've been to the bottom and we've been to the top, and we've remained tight together, as close as you can be. And you know, that's a great thing, you know, overall, even with the music combined and all the experiences that brings, you know, it's a cool legacy to be a part of and continue on. And I'm just, yeah, I can't believe it sometimes, you know. It's really, really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, man, that's gotta be, like you said, the ups and the downs, and just like, you know, sure, there's so many like stories and stuff like that, but you know, much of an influence has it been on your getting into music and the direction you're going? How much has being, you know, Max's stepson had on you?
Oh, you know, that played a lot. And you know, I'm like, it's funny to see today, because I'm like one of the older, probably the oldest kid that is from the spawn of a legend, you know. Like now today we're seeing, you know, Chet Hetfield and little Corey Taylor and little Robert Trujillo and all these dudes, and it's so cool to see what music does, and you know, to see that all these families and all these kids that grew up like I did are doing what I do now, you know. And I was just blown away by music and the atmosphere, and seeing bands in their prime, like, you know, Pantera's and Ozzy Osbourne's and just all these legends, man. I really watched it all. I paid attention to it all. And, you know, and like, man, it must've been like 1990, you know, one day Max was just like, yo, grab my guitar, come up on stage with Sepultura and play Policia, you know. And it was just insane. And then the next thing you know, I'm up there singing Walk with Dimebag. And you know, then came the Nail Bomb in Holland, which, you know, kind of, I think, was like the solidifying event that for sure me that I'd be in music, you know. So it's just a crazy ride. And yeah, it's a cool place to be right now, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I mean, man, I can't imagine how cool it'd be to, you know, get to play with Dime and stuff. I mean, Pantera was definitely one of my early, like, you know, I remember seeing him at a small club here in Ohio before, you know, I think it was just around Cowboys from Hell before they like blew up, you know. And
that must have been rad.
Yeah. And they were, but even the times I ran into them after, they're always so laid back and down to earth and so cool and stuff. And
I think that was a big part on me as to why, you know, I'm so accessible at shows and I'm always hanging and the vibe is always cool. I think watching those guys, you know, seeing how they reacted with everybody, you know, those are some of the first bands I saw. So to see how they treated it, you know, I think that was a big influence on me of how I wanted to carry myself in music and, you know, be a part of it all, you know, and just be humble that you're doing what you're doing. And yeah, I mean, I saw them on the Pantera, Sepultura and Prong tour, which today to me is still one of the greatest tours I've ever seen. You know, each band was just unreal in their primes and trying to test each other each night, but still an amazing brotherhood, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And there's been a lot of, you know, there was a lot of talk, of course, with everybody this weekend about the announcement of the reunion or tribute, you know, with Phil and Rex. And, you know, at first I was kind of like on the fence. I was just like, man, without Vinny and Dime, you know, it just, I felt like, I don't know if they should be doing this, but then after talking and with a lot of the guys and actually hearing, like, you know, Zach Wilde share about it this weekend, I was like, man, you know, there's so many kids that didn't get that experience, you know? And, as long as it's a tribute and everybody's kind of like paying homage to the guys, then, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah, no, me too, man. And I think, like, you know, seeing how Static X kind of pulled it off and, you know, really made Wayne a center part of that, I think, you know, these guys are going to do something that cool as well for the Abbott brothers, you know? And yeah, you know, I think it's going to be cool. Like you said, once Zach kind of came out and said, you know, this is a tribute, you know, this is playing songs for two dudes. And, you know, I respect that. And, you know, at least they got the singer, you know, that's a big part to me. I think that always matters if you, you know, doing something like this. And yeah, I'll be interested to check it out and, you know, just see it. And like you said, enjoy some of them songs again. I'm actually hoping to open on that tour. So let's go.
Yeah. No shit. Let's make that happen, man.
Yes.
And, you know, with Charlie from Anthrax playing, it's like Anthrax was part, you know, family with the Pantera guys, you know? So, I mean, seems like the perfect match, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, it'll be cool, man. I don't think it's meaning disrespect to them or anything like that, you know? I think it'll probably be like a one-time tour thing and, you know, that'll be it. So I see, you know, my father and my uncle doing it with Arise and Beneath the Remains. And, you know, you see the people come to these shows, man, and they look like they're 15 again, you know, the excitement, the vibe of it, to just hear and see those songs, you know, old school tracks like that live again. It's always great, man, no matter what the situation is.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, like, speaking of like the pressures of honor and the family and stuff, I mean, how has it been for you walking in the footsteps, you know, of your family?
You know, I don't feel like it's really that big of a pressure thing. It's more just like an honor, you know, to carry on, you know, like I said, a Cavalier legacy in heavy metal and, you know, doing it well. You know, I started out doing the Slaughter and I didn't know how much more we'd ever do after that, you know, and here we are. We just put out, you know, our sixth album and, you know, we've toured the world and we're still going really strong. And, you know, that hopefully, you know, just shows people the dedication that we bring and, you know, how much we all as Cavaliers love heavy metal touring and, you know, the metalheads out there.
Nice. And what would you say was, you know, what attracted you to doing vocals?
You know, I don't really ultimately know the question, you know, or the answer to that. I was like playing guitar when I really first started out and I was kind of a lefty. So it was kind of weird. And I don't know. I felt like I had more fun, just running around on stage, being not held back by an instrument. And, you know, I've always been a shy person, like in my like formal life. So to like get on stage, I found this place where I wasn't that shy and I felt like I was like firing people up. And, you know, I think I learned all of the stage presence and things before I actually learned how to sing, you know. I feel like I'm just now, you know, with this last release and these shows we played, hitting my vocal awesomeness levels, you know. So it's been a cool ride, and I think that's something about music that is cool, is you, there's so many things that you have to learn and master and be good at, and you know, some of them take longer, and once you kind of put it all together, it's just like, hell yeah, I picked the right thing to do, you know. And lugging around gear always sucked to me, you know, so now I get to help everybody with their gear and, you know, enjoy the night.
Yeah, gotcha. And then, you had all those awesome experiences as a kid, you know, with being a part of the, you know, being able to come up and play with Dime and with Max and everybody. But what did you have any bands before Insight? Did you start some bands like in school with friends and
jam
in the garage and stuff?
Several of them. I think the earliest one was called Wicked Death, and that was in that must have been like 93. It must have been like 8 years old or so. And yeah, that was me and three friends that lived on my block. And you know, I have a band photo, you know, saved from where we're all kids, and like the first set list. And that's actually where the title Up in Hell came from. That was one of the song titles I had written and some lyrics I had written back when I was 8, you know, for this first band. And I found all this and, you know, turned it into a song that worked today, which was so cool. And you know, then, you know, a few little like kind of punk rock bands throughout high school, you know, I was kind of like finding my legs. And then the moment I graduated, it was like I went into Insight. You know, I met up with a couple friends that had just, you know, fired their singer. And, you know, we were all just kind of like, you know, they were kind of like this alt rock and I was doing my punk thing, but we just kind of wanted to be heavier. That was like really taking over at the time, you know, like Killswitch Engage and Darkest Hour and, you know, Unearthed and all this stuff was coming. So that was kind of where we headed, you know, and that's where Insight got formed. And yeah, it definitely cool. I think that's everybody's path to getting to their main band, is always trying a bunch of different things and just gaining experience, you know, and feeling if you love it or not, and finding the right genre that you are comfortable in, you know.
Nice. And then when did Insight come together for you?
I mean, technically we started in 2004, but you know, we were all high school kids, you know, just like any band starts, you know. To me, the real beginning of the band was like 2009, you know, when we really assembled a lineup that was for a while, you know. We created records and released them and toured and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we've been going, man, for a while. And you know, it sucks that, you know, everybody just lost basically 3 years of their career in this, because you know, it can be a short career, man. So 3 years is a crazy thing to lose. So we're just excited to get back and keep the band rolling.
And what was the scene like in Arizona? I mean, that's where you guys were originally came together, right?
Oh man, it's always been incredible. You know, Arizona is like one of those states that just has a great local scene that's always, you know, refreshing good bands. And you know, we came on the scene when it was doing really good. And you know, I was lucky. I worked at a pawn shop, and my manager then was actually like the biggest local promoter of shows at the time. So you know, we were very fortunate to like get going right away and be on these really cool shows and, you know, playing all the cool venues. And you know, all the shows were packed, they were nuts. And you know, I think that kind of built the confidence up to be like, okay, maybe we could like take this out of state and go on tours. So I think it was 2005 or six, and you know, Soulfly was getting ready to do a tour, and I was just kind of like, you know, I didn't really ever want anything from my family or my father or anything for music. You know, I wanted this to be on my own and done my way. But you know, the having an opportunity to tour, you know, was the thing that I looked at being very important. So that was the one favor I did ask of him in the early days, you know. And he was cool, you know. He threw us on along with a lot of bands that nobody had heard. You know, we toured with like Thine Eyes Bleed and Man, I can't even remember all of it. So Mantis, you know, just weird stuff that was going on back then. So, yeah, we were very fortunate. We went to start a tour in Texas. It was our first show, man. We didn't sell a single dollar in merchandise. And it was just like that kind of big and a little pond vibe kind of hit in, you know. You're like, damn, at home it's a lot different. But, you know, out here it's a whole nother level. And, you know, we picked up on things as we went, got better and better. And I think that's just the way you got to do it, you know, throw yourself in the fire.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I agree. And then, you know, you mentioned how, like, you know, everybody just pretty much had 3 years taken off their musical careers, you know, with everything we just went through. But, you know, I was checking out your guys' video for Deadbeat. It seemed like you still kind of tried to make the most of the situation. I really liked the, I really liked the concept and the song. You want to talk a little bit about putting that together? And
yeah, dude, that was really cool. Cause, you know, being in a metal band, that was the hard part. I think if you're, you know, a pop band or mainstream band, you're getting these streams. So things didn't really stop for you, you know, cause our heart of what we do is touring. You know, that's what sells our records, that brings our income, that, you know, keeps the band out there. So, you know, that really is what died. So, you know, we were just like every other band trying to figure out what to do and how to do it and what to change. And, you know, we decided to write. Every record we'd really done has been like rushed, fast, touring in between it, trying to write here and there. And this is the first time we really just had time. So I think, you know, we wanted it to be a special record, but about the time we were living in, you know, because I think it's unprecedented for our generation or anybody that's even alive on the planet. So Deadbeat was kind of the first thing that got it rolling. And you know, it's such a, like you said, such a cool visualization of what we went through. You know, each guy kind of filmed themselves in their own houses with their own cameras, and you know, we just kind of did what we could. And you know, we were able to find a good editor that we sent just massive amounts of footage to, man. And you know, he sat down and just made it killer. And like I said, really just kind of portrayed, I think, a lot of our experiences that, you know, we all went through, from drinking to playing games to smoking pot to music and, you know, just everything in between. And yeah, I think that song is just kind of like, you know, let us the hell out of here. And you know, ending with the van parked outside, you know, just kind of waiting to get back to normal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like the whole thing. So that was actually like, you know, everybody's individual footage during that time.
Oh yeah, that was still the height of the quarantine and the lockdowns, you know. So just with the scheduling, we had to figure out a way to do it without being able to come together. So I'm like, you know, I like directed this whole thing. So I'm like taking screenshots and photos and little videos of myself doing my scenes to help the other guys kind of have an idea of where we could take this. And each guy just kind of ruled their own thing. Like, you know, Lennon did different camera angles with the camera swinging over the drum kit, or, you know, his girlfriend walking in, telling him to do the laundry. And he's like, no, get away. And, you know, Eli with, you know, the cutout of Sam from, you know, Supernatural. And yeah, you know, just eating chips and drinking beer. Just, yeah, I love it, man. I, you know, I hope, you know, more people get to see it, because yeah, it's a cool video. And I think that's a big thing we focused on with this album, was each video just really knocking it out of the park and having an intense meaning for what the music was.
Yeah, and that had to be, you know, I mean, during that time, that had to be kind of, you know, therapeutic and a good way to release, you know, all the anxiety that was going on in the world with you guys.
Definitely, man, because, yeah, we even recorded the album in a bubble and with masks on. And, you know, so to finally, yeah, be able to, like, 5 months after doing that, do a video, it was like, oh, dude, that ruled, you know. And I think each video, yeah, you kind of just took any live performance that you had a chance to do and just went, you know, 1,000% on it, just to get out, you know, the last year of rock and being missed, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, as I was going down the rabbit hole, checking out some of the videos, I also liked War Soup. And, you know, I mean, I just, my youngest daughter just graduated high school, and, you know, it seems like you guys were kind of bringing attention to, you know, our kids are, they seem to like go to war every day when they go to school these days. Oh, yeah. And, but it's not a, the only time anything's addressed is if there's a, you know, a school shooter or something like that, but the bullying and all that stuff. Nah, we, you know, we won't shine a light to try and fix that issue.
Oh no. And you know, that's exactly what the song was meant to be. Like it, even it's worse than that now is, you know, social media, you know, that it used to be where you just go to school or you just be at your workplace or whatever and deal with it. But now it's, you know, it's 24/7 and it's multiple people. And, you know, I've experienced that heavily, you know, as far as like harassment and, you know, stalking and things like that online where, you know, you're being bullied, you're being manipulated, you're being controlled and put in fear, you know, and it's a horrible thing. And, you know, I think it trickles down to, like you said, school being the beginning of it and the worst part of it. Cause you know, we don't, like you said, no one cares about really a school shooting. Why are they going to care about some kid getting pushed? You know, it's really unfortunate. And, you know, we wanted to bring that to light, you know, as best we could and just show people, hey, you know, we go through it. Everybody goes through it in a different facet of life, and be strong. You know, look for any help you can get, you know, and it's just a really, really crazy time right now that we all live in. And that song, War Soup, you know, those are the ingredients for bad things to happen to people, man.
Hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at Today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled DREEM. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from Today's Boondog sent you.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, some of my personal experience, like I said, with my daughters and stuff and the school system in general these days is like, if you're getting bullied and you defend yourself, you get in trouble too. You know, the way it's set up these days is like, you have to be the victim, or if you stand up for yourself and fight back, which, you know, I had an incident, my daughter, you know, fought back. And so she got suspended from school too. And I remember going to pick her up and I'm sitting there in the principal's office and they're like, well, since your daughter, like, you know, put her hands on her back and stuff, she's suspended too. And I go, oh, so you're defending yourself? And she's like, yeah. And I go, good, I'm proud of you. And the principal was like, what? Like, well, you guys ain't going to friggin' push something, you know, I'm going to encourage my daughters to stick up for themselves.
Like you said, you know, society looks at the person that finally sticks up for themselves as being in the wrong. You know, it's like, that's how, my situation was. It's like, I have to just take these messages. I can't respond to them. I can't publicize them. I can't do anything. I have to just continue to block people over and over and over and over. And it just, you know, you go to resources like Facebook and Instagram, and their reporting does nothing. You know, none of it's taken down, none of it's stopped, none of it's controlled. It's just free reign to harass and do whatever you want. And, you know, it really sucks because so much of our lives is social media, and it just, you know, what it's doing and what people are, the ones in power that are making the rules for it, really suck, man. And that's really sad to hear, but I'm proud she did stick up for herself, because you have to at some point, man. You can only take so much.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I got my youngest doing jujitsu with me and stuff. So it's just nice. Like, you know, before you go off to the world in college, unfortunately, it's not, you know, I mean, the world I grew, I'm almost 50. So it's like the world I grew up in is a lot different than the world they're growing up in today. And, it, you know, as it, my time was a lot different than my parents' time. It just seems like, you know, we're definitely going backwards as society.
You know, back then, you know, you could have moved a state over and those people were gone. There's no way for them to reach you. Now it's just they log on to Facebook or Instagram and you're right there still, you know? So it's hard to get away from anything like that anymore. You know, it's really crazy. It's really crazy and unfortunate.
Yeah, for sure. And now, you know, we're talking about, you know, coming after the, recording a video in a bubble and recording the album and stuff in a bubble. And now it's like, things are somewhat, it seems like, back to normal. You're able to get back on the road now and get the name out there, promote the album, promote everything you're doing. You're getting ready to hit the road with Jungle Rot.
Oh man. Unfortunately, they canceled that tour.
No.
Yeah, man. They sent us a email just saying, you know, things aren't good right now and we got to pull the plug on that tour. So we went ahead and we had a backup plan. So we scheduled a U.S. September headline tour that we're going to do. It's about 3 weeks and we're going to announce it here, hopefully by early next week. And, you know, yeah, you know, things are still happening. You know, we're all trying to get back to 100%, but, you know, things are still happening. Gas just canceled a lot of tours and, you know, that was kind of scary for a bit there. And, you know,
canceled
now,
my vacation plans this summer too.
Yeah. You know, so we were lucky. We moved it to September and yeah, things are, you know, getting better as far as the outlook of the situation is. And then after that, we're going to head to Europe for October and then come back to America and do like a November, December headline tour. So we're excited that everything worked out. And like you said, you know, happy to be out playing again and getting the name out there, you know, more than anything, playing these new songs for people, because they're absolute monsters. You know, we played about 7 shows so far playing that entire record live, and the shows have just been insanity.
Yeah, so okay, so that the last, you know, I mean, when we were setting this interview up, like it was still like, as you guys going out with Jungle Rot, you're supposed to be coming to Cleveland in August. So all that's canceled now. I haven't got the follow-up yet. So we're hearing it from you first here.
Yep. Jungle Rot just announced it. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's unfortunate. It sucks, you know, but we were lucky to at least put together some headlining dates and make up for, you know, what happened.
Do you know if any of those dates will be bringing you guys to Cleveland?
Oh, for sure. That'll be, so the first September half is going to be all the West Coast and the Midwest. And then November, December is going to be all the North, East, and the South. So we'll definitely be rocking up in Cleveland.
All right, cool, man. I'll keep my eye out because I definitely want to check you guys out for sure.
Oh, definitely, man. It'll rage.
And then Wake Up Dead is the album that's out. That was all recorded in the bubble?
Oh, yeah, man, the whole thing. I think that's kind of why it became an EP, you know, 5 songs that were all brand new, just not knowing a lot, the difficulties of scheduling everything that we had to do and the safety concerns and, you know, everything at the time. Cause I mean, that was the height of it. You know, you thought you were walking around and you were going to just drop dead. So we did what we could and, you know, we're beyond happy with Steve Evitz, how he kept us safe, created these incredible songs, and you know, really just made the environment feel really fun and not all fucked up.
Yeah. And then when you guys finally get to start tearing some, you know, faces off of a live audience and stuff, what's one of the songs you're looking most forward to playing live for an audience?
Oh man, right now it's a Mental Destruction. You know, like I said, we did about 7 shows this year, kind of all coordinated around the release of the record back in April. And, you know, that song, it was just a tease to play it so few times, because it's just, to me, it's the evolutionary step of where we're going with the future music that this band's going to create. You know, I think just the openness to try different things, but still keeping what we do. And yeah, that song's going to be insane live. I think the crowds are going to be insane. They're going to love it, the vibe, the hugeness of it. Yeah, I'm stoked for that one.
And what's it been like for you guys working with Atomic Fire Records?
Oh man, that's a dream come true. Cause you know, we were already so lucky to have, you know, Brad with Minus Head and, you know, the relationship with them for so long, and for him to link up and kind of partner with Atomic Fire and everything that's been going on has just been a dream come true, man. You know, they're all legends in this business, and they all love what they do and the bands that they work with. And, you know, to be with like bands like Meshuggah, it was just like, holy shit, this is like some next level right here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody that they work with and all the team members they're all incredible, professional, you know, how I like to be. And, you know, also adding the Oracle management with, you know, Dez and his wife and, you know, that killer team, you know, it's just been an unbelievable year for us as a band. And, you know, we're just beyond fired up to like see what's going to happen, you know, the next steps of what we're doing.
Nice. And then, you know, this is a question that I have in my random question Rolodex here that I haven't asked in a while, but seeing Sam from Supernatural kind of triggered the memory back up in your Deadbeat video. So do you have any kind of superstitions on the road that, like, before you get go out and play live, do you have to, like, you know, wear a lucky rabbit's foot or tie your shoes a certain way or anything like that?
Mine is usually my shorts. You know, I get real, like you say, superstitious about my shorts, man. Like, once I find a pair and I have a good show, it's kind of like they have to be worn for the next, you know, 5 years straight, man. And, you know, they get to the point where it's like I've got, like, zip ties holding them together, you know, just to get through tours and shit. So, yeah, I'm big on that for sure, man. Like, yeah, holy shit.
Nice. Well, let me ask you some of the other questions I normally ask guests that are on with me. Who are your top 3 musical artists?
I would say Mike Patton, Chino Moreno, and probably Mike Muir. Nice. I love all 3 of those dudes. Their energy, their passion for what they do, their diversity in what they do, and their like precision on how to like rock a crowd is just incredible. And, you know, those 3 have had a huge impact on my life for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Those are 3 of my favorites as well.
Hell yeah.
Is there a particular song that you feel has inspired you in life that's like a regular go-to on your playlist when you need something to like pick you up and get you over the hump?
Oh, shit. You know, I think, you know, Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd has kind of always been a go-to for me. You know, I love kind of that era of music, and the songwriting was just absolutely incredible. And I think that song just kind of breaks us all down to just let us know that, you know, we're all just regular ass people going on this adventure of life, you know, and it's always different for every one of us. And that song just definitely hits hard.
Yeah, that's definitely a good tune. I got to admit, though, one of my personal favorites has always been KSAD. So
nice. No, that's that's a great one. And that's how I think music is. It just depends on the emotion that you're feeling, you know, whether it's like, I just broke up with a girl, or I'm really pissed off because of this, you know, it's like, I got certain songs for every kind of thing that's going on. And I think all of us do, you know?
Yeah. Well, that one's on my playlist for like, fuck the government, you know, so.
Hell yeah. That's a good one for that. You know, I think, you know, growing up in Brazil in a police state, he definitely saw, you know, the worst of what a place can become.
Yeah, exactly. And if people don't start paying attention around here, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. There's a lot of things, I think, even just beyond ourselves in this country. You know, I think the world has a lot that we need to focus on and, you know, be more open-minded to bigger shit than, you know, kind of just my state, my town, my city vibe, you know, or else we're all going to fucking die, because this planet is going to just sneeze us off one day.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I hope for the best. You know, I'm optimistic. We've had times like this in the past, and, you know, humanity always seems to get through and find a way, man.
Yeah. There's definitely hope out there, man. A lot more people seem to wake up and pay attention and get out of just being self-absorbed and out of themselves, you know, as much as social media and the internet, you know, can, you know, definitely bring out a lot of the negativity. There's a lot of information and sharing and unity that's been getting brought through it too. So,
yeah, you know, man, totally. And that's a great thing. People having conversations, and that's what we need. You know, no more just kind of sticking in your bubble. You gotta, like I say, realize it's a big world out there, man. And, you know, when you tour and you see it all, you understand how intertwined each and every one of us are. You know, no matter how we want to, like, kind of pretend that that's not the way it is, we are. You know, the dude in Romania right now is on the same level and vibe, mentality, family, life, love, you know, a future. And that's kind of what I think all connects all of us at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely. And then here's a question I like to ask. I'd like to get your input on. What class do you feel should be mandatory before graduating high school?
Oh, damn. Probably something with like taxes and financial stuff. Cause, you know, I think the money situation and saving, you know, all these different avenues that there are to save and invest money for your future and retirement, you know, when I went to school, they didn't teach me a single thing about any of that, you know. And you turn 18, and it's like, you got to learn taxes, savings, all that shit, credit cards. I mean, yeah, I think we just kind of send people into just, there you go. Good luck, man. Figure it out, you know.
Yeah, go off to college and get in a lot of debt.
Yeah, so I would like to see that definitely be focused on a lot more for sure, because the more prepared we all are, the better we can do for ourselves and our families and, you know, our cities and such.
Yeah, I agree. And that's definitely one that comes up often when I ask that question. So,
Hell yeah.
And then, who are three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
Ooh, definitely my mother. You know, she is everything she's been through, man, from like, you know, being a single mother with five kids, that she, you know, kept us all living a really decent life, man. And, you know, my deadbeat father, you know, left us when we were really young, and for her to overcome and do what she did is absolutely remarkable, you know, to be one of the first women really in the music business, man, and take a crappy band from Brazil and turn them into what they became is, you know, it's legendary. You know, it's absolutely legendary. It'll probably never happen again like that ever. You know, that's a one in a time thing. And, you know, she's held the family together through some of the hardest times and, you know, got Max straight when he was hitting his downfalls. And yeah, I think she is all three of my most important people. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Cause that's awesome.
No one's affected me or so many like she has and what she's done. And, you know, I pretty much think my father would probably be dead by now if he didn't, you know, meet her, which it's kind of crazy too. But yeah, definitely my mom.
Dude, shout out to mom.
Hell yeah. All the moms out there, man. Like, you know, that's what it's all about, man. Can't love your mom. Who the hell can you love?
Exactly. But no, what an awesome story that your mom has, and what a great tribute you just paid her.
Definitely, man. She deserves it.
And then, are there any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
Yes, my big one is the suicide prevention hotline. You know, that I'm being in, you know, music and just Arizona and things like that, I've had a lot of friends that have, you know, taken their lives. A lot of colleagues that have taken their lives. You know, I've been close to that myself with just life and things. And I think all of us have moments of hopelessness. And, you know, I definitely support everything they do. I share them very oftenly on my social medias, and just, you know, I'm big on people just talking, man, and looking for help anywhere they can get it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, I used to do promotions here locally in Cleveland back in the day, concert promotions, and I had unfortunately lost a nephew to suicide back in like 2001, and he was like kind of like a little brother to me. And then I would do an annual suicide prevention benefit concert to raise awareness, and so many bands got on board because people were like, man, I lost somebody like that, I believe in this cause, let's raise some awareness, and start a fund in my nephew's name. And that was like my passion every year for when I was still booking shows, you know.
No, that's really incredible that you did that, man, because like I say, I think that's something in society that pretty much touches almost every one of us in some way, whether it be a friend or a family member. You know, I truly think that's just a really, really horrible thing that some of us face, for sure.
Yeah. And now, you know, I'm retired military as well, and just so many of the people I've served with that I've lost to, you know, PTSD and stuff like that. So it's still like a passion of mine. I don't book shows anymore, but I always try and raise awareness whenever I can, like with the, you know, using this podcast and stuff like that. So
no, it's important, man. Like people that, you know, we find ourselves sometimes so down, man, and that it just feels inescapable. And maybe a week can go by, man, and our whole life can change for the better, you know. And that's kind of the few fortunate moments that I had that kind of got me through it and keep me, I think, going forward now, you know, understanding that there's someone out there that will listen, man, and give you an ear. And, you know, even like I say, calling the hotline, you know, it can save your life and give you one more day, man. And I encourage people to, you know, look out for others, man. Sometimes the happiest people can be the most depressed. And especially on today, you know, 5 years, RIP to, you know, Chester, Linkin Park, you know, I think, who is a massive influence on my generation and so many of us that, you know, kind of got some people into heavy music. And, you know, definitely prayers to his family and, you know, all his loved ones today.
Yeah, for sure. I know a few of them that I've reached out to earlier today through text or calls and stuff to check on them. And
yeah, no, it's beautiful, man.
Yeah. And it's usually, you know, the people that, you know, are always giving so much of themselves to others that you don't even know that, you know, what's going on behind the scenes with them.
Yeah, man, it's hard, you know, and I think some of us just, you know, find a place where maybe it's just better that way. You know, I don't know. Your mind can be a crazy thing sometimes, man, what it can try to convince yourself into doing, you know. And just got to try to stay positive, man, for as many people as possible.
Exactly. And I'm also in recovery. I'm 13 years sober. And I just, one thing I've learned is, you know, I can't outthink a thinking problem. I can't lift the bucket that I'm standing in. You know, I need to reach outside and get other people's input. I need to build a team around me, you know, and get that fellowship and get that help. Because if I stay in my own head, man, it's never a good time, you know?
No, it's true, man. And yeah, you know, I've done, you know, counseling and, you know, things like that. And it's definitely helped me, you know, just learn a lot more. And I think we could all use things like that. You know, it's another thing in school that'd be great for people to have, you know, growing up is a place to talk and, you know, say the things you need. So that's great that you're, you know, kicking butt, man, and, you know, becoming inspiration for others. And that's what we all need.
Yeah. Amen, man. And then on a happier memory note, this is a question I really enjoy asking. I get all kinds of fun answers with this, but what's your favorite toy as a child?
Oh, I would probably go with my, my little remote control, monster truck. I don't know what kind it was or what it was, but man, I would just play with that thing all day and long. Yeah. I love the remote control monster truck for sure.
Nice. Nice. Any message you have for our military members currently serving overseas?
Oh yeah. You know, be safe and, you know, bless you for what you do, you know, to make the sacrifice that you do is unthinkable, you know, and really, really just an incredible amount of courage that they have. And I've been very blessed to meet so many of them here and abroad, you know, shows and, just really cool. And, you know, meeting a lot of them that, you know, love metal, you know, to know that we can fire them up a little bit, man, is a great thing. And yeah, big love to every one of them, man. I definitely know when I was 18, I would have shit my pants if I was involved with that, man. That's for sure. And that's what makes you guys just so just incredible, you know, on every level.
Awesome, man. Thanks a lot. Well, Richie, man, I'm glad you were a patient man and were able to still be here through my technical difficulties so we can make this happen, man. I really appreciate the conversation we had. If there's any of the audience out there that's new to hearing about you and insight and want to know more or support you guys, where would you send them?
Yeah, man, just go, you know, check out our Instagram. It's all under Insight Band. Same with Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. YouTube, we have, like you said, all of our cool new videos and Spotify. And, you know, we're locked in. We're everywhere. You know, just enjoy, man. And hopefully we'll see you at one of the upcoming shows and you can rage in the pit and feel our live energy that I think makes us something different than everybody else right now. Much respect to you all too, man. Thank you.
I was picking some of that up through the videos, man. And your guitar player definitely shreds, man. I'm looking forward to seeing that live.
Yeah, man. Live, we're a whole different monster. That's what I'm saying. That's what we need to be doing to expand our reach and our crowd and stuff, man. Because, yeah, that's what we do. We're live. So thank you all, man. Really, really appreciate the chat and the cool day.
Yeah, man. And one last favor before I let you go. You mind cutting a promo ID for the show?
I got you, sir.
Yeah, just introduce yourself. You're listening to today's Boondoggle.
What up, metalheads? Richie Cavalera, Insight here, and you're jamming with today's Boondoggle. Keep it heavy.
Awesome, brother. Nailed it.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it, brother.
Oh, man, thank you for your time and everything you do. Give Mom a hug for me.
Oh, for sure, man. And mad respect, and hopefully I'll see you in November, December, brother.
W Story, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
What was it in Honduras? We're taking a shower.
That was your buddy.
And you go, hey, look, Mike's got a twin.
Yeah.
And that guy had the same meat stamp, but on the opposite cheek of mine.
Oh, you guys could have got a picture together.
Yeah.
You know?
That would have been weird.
Yeah.
Like two honey hams. Right
there. Just before he went into the smoker.
Two really old, beat up honey hams.
That's an old sound
Camp
now.
Hams.
Been in a smoker way too long.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into Today's Boondoggle.